Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Onto the future path of US and SA interest rates now in the face of inflationary and political pressures. We speak to Isaac Werdendal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Thank you very much, Isaac, for your time this morning. So we will go with the opinion piece that you have penned, and you argue that perhaps the next boardroom TV drama will be set in the Federal Reserve's headquarters when we take a look at U.S. interest rates. Maybe help us understand the characters, right, of this series, if you will. What's the structure of the Federal Open Market Committee when we take a look at the Monetary Policy Committee in South Africa, some seven members comprised of the governor, three deputy governors, and selected senior officials?
Yeah, so the US, the FOMC structure is fairly decentralized in the sense that there are seven board members who sit in Washington, D.C., and then the Fed is comprised of 12 regional Federal Reserve banks. And then the bank presidents from those regional bodies rotate on the FOMC. So there are five of them that sit on the FOMC. So the drama has been around the board members at this stage. Trump accused one of the board members of basically cheating on a mortgage application years ago, and he fired her. She's gone to court and said she doesn't have cause for firing her, and so far the courts have said she can stay on. But clearly, that's a case of him trying to find something to use against anybody, really, so that he can increase his influence on the FOMC. There was a vacancy, and he put Stephen Moran, one of his close advisors, onto the board. So there's already one very direct Trump supporter on the board, and then there are also two governors that he appointed in his first term, who are Christopher Waller and Michelle Bowman. But I think the main character in this whole drama is probably Trump himself, because it is a historically unprecedented degree of public interference in the functioning of the central banks. Presidents have in the past pressurized behind closed doors central bank chiefs in the US, but this is very public. It's all happening on social media.
In real time, and the plot thickens because the U.S. cut interest rates for the first time this year, and questions are being asked whether there's a political pressure there, or you can trace the fingerprints of political pressure. You also argue that central banks can lower interest rates for good or bad reasons. So as the plot thickens, what are some of the good and the bad reasons?
Look, typically, a good reason for cutting rates would simply be that inflation has come down, and therefore higher rates are no longer needed. And that is what we've seen in South Africa. That's why the Reserve Bank has been cutting rates over the last year. That is, in fact, what we saw in America last year. Inflation came down very nicely, and there was room to cut interest rates. So that would be a good reason for cutting interest rates. And obviously, that is very positive from a market's point of view. A bad reason would be if the economy is about to crash, and then you need emergency support. And that's what we saw in COVID. You know, central banks slashed interest rates all over the world, but that was in response to this economic emergency. So that's a bad reason to be cutting interest rates. It doesn't really help markets. Or it's the underlying economic conditions are very negative for financial markets.
With every plot, there is a twist. What is the plot twist here? Is it too early to tell, more so when we speak of risk management, or can we already see the signs with both central banks?
Look, in the case of the U.S., I mean, obviously the questions are being asked about political interference. But I think the decision they made last week to cut interest rates was the right one, given that you've seen a very sharp slowdown in job creation in the U.S. And so I think it is right for them to err on the side of cutting interest rates. But of course, it's a very difficult decision because inflation is rising. So normally you would not be cutting interest rates if inflation is rising. But this is not a normal time. So I think that cut was fine, and maybe one or two more. But beyond that, you know, we're going to have to wait and see if you want to do this purely from an economic point of view. But then the other issue is that over time, I think Trump will be able to build more influence on the board. And so you might find that the marginal decision goes in the way of what the president wants, which has historically been lower interest rates. So you might see that there is a bias towards lower rates or towards rates that are lower than they would have otherwise been.
We heard from Jerome Powell on Tuesday at the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce 2025 Economic Outlook. He spoke of the September Beige book, a book that is literally beige, he says. And that's a report on qualitative data on the Federal Reserve's system, which spoke of consumer and business sentiment being low compared to the beginning of the year. And so when we take a look at that as a consideration for not only the Federal Reserve, but the South African Reserve Bank as well, because when we speak of sentiment, consumer and business in South Africa as well, it could very well be argued that it is also low. There are some similarities in as much as there are differences between the two?
Yeah, I mean, sentiment data has historically been a useful economic indicator, but it's not perfect because people will often say, oh, things are terrible, but then when you look at their behavior, you know, they're spending money. And we see that in South Africa. We see that retail sales has actually picked up very nicely, car sales picking up. So in this environment, then you go with the hard data. You go with what people actually do rather than what they say. And similarly in the US, despite the fact that sentiment is poor, consumer spending is still rising. Now, part of the problem there is it's an issue of averages, right? Because rich people can spend more, and so they can lift the overall spending numbers, whereas the sentiment numbers are more democratic and give you a bigger slice of what's happening in the population. And I think that's especially true in the US, but also, of course, in South Africa, that is a very unequal society. But at the end, if you just look at the numbers, spending is rising. And so we're not seeing a massive slowdown in spending in the US. And in South Africa, things are actually getting better, it seems.
Thank you very much, Isaac, for your time this morning. Isaac Werdendal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. And that's it from us for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. and podcast just after 7 a.m. A big thank you to the team, Eddie, Nobuhle, Nicole. And this week, we are doing things a little bit differently. A big thank you to Mr. Sbusiso, Ms. Mosehla, and of course, Mr. Thulani, and to you for your time and to our guests for their time. We're back with you tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a magic day further. Bagaitu, bulakio.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now, the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.